Yeah, got it. Okay. I do have a question about the recording, because I have my own personal Zoom and I got a notice that I'm almost maxed out on the space in the cloud. And I need to buy more space, but I don't know how to buy more space without changing my plans. Or is anybody out there familiar with that?
I can talk to you later about it.
Okay. All right, we'll do that later then. Okay, well, let me open us in prayer and we'll jump into our time today. Well, Father, we thank you for yet another beautiful day and a reminder of your grace and your mercy and your presence. Lord, I just pray that you'll guide our time together this afternoon, that you would allow the words that I share to serve to encourage and spur us on and just remind us of some of the truths that you've told us in your word. So we invite you into this time and we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So today what I wanted to do is talk to you all about a concept that I think we can all identify with at some point in time, and that is stress and anxiety. And what does the Bible have to say about that? First of all, the definition of stress is a state of mental or emotional strain resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. And anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an uncertain event or outcome. A couple of things to note is those feelings of stress and anxiety are real, and so don't ignore them. You do have a choice, though, in what you do with those, and the Bible speaks to that choice. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter wrote, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Peter's telling us that God, because of God's love and care for you, he invites us to cast our cares and our worries on him. But to be able to do this, you've got to be honest with yourself and acknowledge what's bothering you or that there is something bothering you. In another place, Jesus talks a lot about anxiety, and it's found in Matthew 6. And I want to read this passage to you and unpack it briefly. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here in this passage, Jesus is teaching his disciples that God cares for all of his creation. And if he cares for the flowers and the birds, he's going to care that much more for us. And so we really don't have a reason to worry. Most of us, when we worry, we're worried about all of the what ifs. What if something happens? What if the market collapses? What if people don't buy health insurance? What if, you know, on and on and on. And the antidote or the way to address that is to focus on the what is as opposed to the what ifs. And so what is true? Well, according to the Bible, it is true that God loves us, that God is good, that God is sovereign or in control, that God is at work all the time, and that God is with us and for us. If we focus on that, then whatever's going on circumstantially begins to fall away because we focused on what we know to be true. Many Bible stories illustrate this point, and one that I really like is found in Matthew 14, when Jesus is crossing the lake with his disciples, or actually the disciples are trying to cross the lake. Jesus had sent them ahead, and now he's coming to them, and he's walking on water. The disciples see him, and they freak out. They think they're seeing a ghost, but, you know, they don't know what to do. Jesus calls out and says, "Don't worry, it's me." Peter then says, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out on the water and walk on water to you." And Jesus says, "Come on." So Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on water, just like Jesus. Now, I don't know if he took one step or 10 steps, but one is more than anybody that I've ever known. Peter walks on water, but it says that as he was walking on water toward Jesus, that he started noticing the wind and the waves around him, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and immediately he began to sink. That's a really good picture of what I was just sharing. If we keep our eyes fixed on God and what we know to be true about him, then the circumstances around us aren't going to affect us. But if we look at our circumstances and we allow those to take our focus, then we begin to sink and we begin to stress. Psalm 119, a couple of verses here. Verse 28 says, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." 119:49, "Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort and my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them." Psalm 119 is a psalm, 176 verses, 172 of which actually talk about the value, the benefit, the importance of God's word. And what those four scriptures say is that God's word provides comfort, it provides strength, and it provides encouragement. So when we find ourselves experiencing stressful or anxiety-producing situations, we need to go to God's word, look for the promises that he has made, focus on what we know to be true about him, and the things that are beginning or trying to draw our attention begin to fall away. Some practical things that I want to share with you as to how to address anxiety is the acronym PEACE. So the Bible says that God offers us his perfect peace. The acronym PEACE provides practical things we can do. So P stands for pray. As I said earlier, cast all your anxiety on God and be specific. E, exhale, breathe. Something that I've recently learned and been practicing every day is if you will regulate your breathing, in other words, if you will do this practice two or three times a day, it will actually rewire your brain. And if you find yourself in an anxious situation, what happens is your diaphragm comes up into your throat practically. And so this breathing exercise lowers your diaphragm, changes what's happening physiologically in your body, and allows you to think more clearly. So you breathe in through your nose for a count of four. Hold it for a count of four. And then breathe out through your mouth for a count of six. And you do that three times, and that literally changes what's going on physiologically in your body and helps you to begin to calm down. The A in the acronym PEACE is avoid. Avoid stressors. If TV or news or social media or certain people, every time you turn them on, every time you're around them, because of the topic that they're talking about causes your anxiety to go up, then avoid it. I mean, to be honest, I have not watched national news since the pandemic, personally. I haven't even turned it on. Now, some people might say that's being an ostrich. I do know what's happening to some degree, but I don't listen to what used to be news because there's no such thing as news anymore. It's just views. And usually it's not something that's going to lead to peaceful thinking. So pray, exhale, avoid stressors, see, communicate, be honest with yourself and with others. Tell your trusted friends what's going on, what you're feeling. Invite them to pray with you, to pray for you. And then E is exercise. Walk, work out, stretch. Do something that physically is going to help you. You may or may not have the ability to run or walk, but you can do something to try to take care of your body physically. So pray, exhale, avoid stressors, communicate, and exercise. If you'll do those five things, that brings the peace of God into your life. Our physical health is interconnected with our emotional well-being. We are one unit, mind, body, and spirit, and they're all interconnected. And if one's off, it affects the others. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." That's a promise. That's a reality. But he goes on to say, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So Jesus promises that life's going to be confusing and anxiety producing at times, but he promises that he has overcome the world. And if we keep our eyes fixed on him, we can experience the peace that passes understanding. As your chaplain, if I can help you, if you find yourself dealing with anxiety or stress, just reach out to me one-on-one and I can try to give you some other resources to help. But this particular tool of PEACE, I have found to be very effective and helpful for myself and others. So let me pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the practicality of what your scriptures tell us. We thank you that you promised us that in this world, because it's not redeemed yet, we are living in a broken place where things that happen can create anxiety and fear. But Father, you said that you're bigger and greater than anything that we face. And if we'll keep our eyes fixed on you, we can experience a peace that passes understanding. And I just pray that that would be true for everybody on this call, that each of us would truly learn to keep our eyes fixed on you and not on the things of the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Any questions or comments or pushback or anybody practice any of that?